Just as Reverend Powell said, it is a great privilege and honor not only to be able to witness and also being able to participate in Hope BP Church's installation service today. And it is also a great an honor to be asked to encourage the newly installed session. And so I want to share a few thoughts from the book of Philippians and that we have just read. Now, let me ask you a question. Who will like to encourage your church leaders, whether they be your pastor or your elders or your deacons? I'm sure we all do. We all like to encourage them. But you know what? The best way to encourage them is to let them know that you are praying for them. I'm speaking from a personal experience. Nothing is more encouraging than to hear someone say to you, brother or pastor, I'm praying for you, and thank you for your service and ministry. And understand that this text that I've just read is all about the Apostle Paul thanking the Philippians and also thanking them for their fellowship in the gospel, as you can read in the first part of chapter 1, and also praying for them for their growth. But the applications go both ways. So it is not just the leaders or like Apostle Paul praying for the Philippians. The Philippians can also pray for the leaders to grow in love and in knowledge and in judgment and in holiness. I was quite impressed this morning when we were having the prayer at pastor's room, and one of the session members actually read out and memorized the outlines already when he was praying. And so as he was really studying the outline even before we had before the service began. So this passage, as I said, goes both ways. In other words, whether you are a church leader or a pastor or a missionary, like Apostle Paul, who is praying for church members, or church members praying for church leaders, the application is the same. So I would like to take this opportunity to see how we can encourage our church leaders by praying for them. And so first of all, I'd like to bring your notice to verse 9, the first part of verse 9, and it talks about, "And this I pray, that your love may abound." So the first thing that we can do is to pray that our church leader will grow in love. And why pray that our church leaders may grow in love, you say? Well, for there's no genuine Christianity or genuine Christian service without love. And the Apostle John, and also known as the Apostle of Love, writes in this letter, he says, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, and he said, he is a liar. And he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, and how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" And in the same book, he also said, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." So take away love, there's no genuine Christianity. And take away love, there's no genuine Christian service. And our service without love will be a mere ritual or even a performance. But notice that Paul's prayer is not just for them to grow in love, but their love may abound more and more. And that the word abound means to exceed, to surpass the goal with some left over. So it is not just enough, but it is more than enough. And the word more and more there means more and more. So it means to keep growing nonstop. So I think Pastor Key also mentioned in the prayer or in what it said we pray that these deacons, these elders, all the session members, and likewise pastors like us may continue to grow. And so we don't stop growing and we keep growing. So when you pray for our church leaders or your church leaders to grow in love, don't just ask for a little growth, which is nothing wrong in itself, but we should pray like the Apostle Paul that their love may abound or exceed or surpass the goal with some leftover and keep growing. And so let me tell you something. Most church leaders can come under a lot of stress for various reasons. And oftentimes it is challenging for them to balance between work / family life and ministry. And as Reverend Ewell Powell mentioned in the prayer, and so we need wisdom to have good time management. And it is challenging. And sometimes they can feel discouraged over something. And sometimes they can also be disappointed over some people. And sometimes they may find it hard to love someone who is difficult to love. And we're all called to love one another. But sometimes it is challenging. And notice that Paul does not define whether he is talking about love for God or love for man or for people in this verse. And I believe it is because he's talking about both love for God and love for people. Love for God and love for people are two very important things. Remember, some scribes asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment of all? And you know what the Lord said. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so that his summary of all the laws, love God and love people, love man, your neighbor. The person who's sitting next to you, behind you, around you, you know. So that's the people that you have to love. What that means is that we are to grow to love God and people in abundance, more and more and more and nonstop. And why is that important? I believe our commitment to the service is based on love. Love for God and love for people. And therefore, it is very important that we pray for our church leaders that their love for God and for people will continue to grow, may abound, and will grow nonstop. And so each time when you see a church leader or think about a church leader, pray for them that their love will grow. Their love for God and love for man will grow, nonstop, continue to grow. And so that they can serve us, serve God, more effectively. So how do we pray for our church leader? First, we need to pray that they will grow in love. And second, we need to pray that they will grow also in knowledge. And Paul says in verse 9 that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge. Notice Paul doesn't just pray for their love to grow, but their love to grow in knowledge. And that is important. And I thank God that Hope BP Church has many people, not just leaders, but laypersons who have abundant theological knowledge, biblical knowledge. And some of you are leading Bible studies, and that's very good. But nevertheless, we should continue to pray for them, especially for our leaders. And now, as we have already established, that having love for God and for people is extremely important because it is the basis of our Christian service. As I said, without love, there's no genuine Christianity. Without love, there's no genuine Christian service. However, Christian love is not just a warm and fuzzy feeling without any basis or any support. And what I mean by this is that Christian love is and should be grounded firmly in the Word of God and His truth. And so to grow in love, we must also grow in knowledge as well. Therefore, this is why true Christian unity cannot be achieved without being grounded in biblical truth. But notice, it's not just any kind of knowledge or just knowledge about God, because knowledge about God is really reading the Bible and storing up a lot of knowledge in the head, and that's knowledge about God. But knowledge about God's attributes, His characters, His power, His glory, His mercy, and His grace. And then again, we should pray that this knowledge will be incorporated into their personal experience with God. Not just knowledge about God, but they should be incorporated with their personal experience with God. Now, let me explain what I mean. We all know that about Job in the Bible. And we know that he feared God and eschewed evil or shunned evil. And he was a righteous man in the sight of God. But his knowledge is or was largely based on hearing or knowing about God. I'm not saying that he was not saved. I'm not saying that he does not know God, but largely based upon hearing. But one day, everything changes. And you know the rest of the story. And he experienced trials beyond any of us can ever imagine. And he lost everything, his family, his possessions, his wealth, and even to some certain degree, his reputation. His friends came and accused him of wrongdoing. And yet, right at the end of the book, Job confessed in Job chapter 42, "Now I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee." Now, what did he actually see? What did he actually see? God? Well, no man can see God and still lives. Well, what did he see then? Well, he's talking about experiencing God in the way that he has never before. Through all the trials and all the hardships, he saw God's attributes, God's characters, His grace and mercy and His love and His power and glory. Now, not only he has heard of Him, but he actually saw and experienced God firsthand. Now, I'm not saying that we should pray that God will send trials and persecutions into the lives of our leaders. But at least we need to pray that our leaders, that they will not only grow in knowledge, but they will also experience God in a personal way. And again, being a church leader in any capacity is not easy. But if they can, through their trials and hardships, rely on God, they can learn something in a personal way about God. And those knowledge will not just be head knowledge, but those knowledge will become part of his experience with God. And that is, I think that is the kind of knowledge that we need to grow. Not only, for that matter, not only the church leaders, all of us need to grow in that way. Now, okay, but you may think that it's too much to ask for church leaders. I think, again, this was Paul's words for the Philippians. In other words, Paul is not writing to a group of church leaders. He's writing to a group of church members, Christians, believers, laypersons. So, you know, I don't think it's too much to ask for our church leaders. Now, how can one be motivated to grow in knowledge? Well, actually, our love for God and love for His Word are relative to each other. And what I mean is that, you see, if anyone says, I love God, but I don't like to read His Word, then something must be seriously wrong, don't you think? And if, just like a relationship, and it would be kind of odd to hear someone says, oh, I like this boy, I like this girl, but I have no interest whatsoever to know the person. And so it's like, you know, what kind of love is that, you know? And also like the husband and wife, I love my wife, but I have no interest to know more about her. And so as one author puts it this way, love of God, I quote, love of God is immeasurably more important than knowledge of God. But if a man loves God, knowing a little about Him, he should love God more from knowing more about Him. For every new thing known about God is a new reason for loving Him, unquote. In other words, loving God and knowing more about Him is inseparably connected. And so each time when you see a church leader, pray that he will not only grow in love for God and for man, but also grow in a personal knowledge of Christ so that they may serve the Lord more effectively. So how do we pray for our church leaders? We need to pray for our church leaders to grow in love. Second, we need to pray for them to grow in knowledge. And third, we need to pray that they will grow in all judgments. And the word judgment there in some other versions is rendered as depth of insight. Depth of insight. So insight that has depth. So we see that from verse 9 and also the beginning of verse 10, and more and more knowledge in all judgment or depth of insight that he may approve things that are excellent. So as we have already established, knowledge is important, but knowing how to apply that knowledge, I believe, is equally important. And how can we have a good spiritual judgment or depth of insight? This requires not only diligent study of God's Word, that's only half of the job done, but it also requires them to rely on the teacher with a capital T. And who is that teacher? That our teacher is the Holy Spirit, a Spirit of God. So our Lord said in John chapter 14, verse 26, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, only when they do that, study the Word of God and seek to be taught by the Spirit of God, and then they can have good judgment to apply God's Word and also to help others. And why do I say help others? I'm talking about giving counseling to people who need it. And I think a lot of time we go to our church leader for counseling, and that is very good. We can go to pastors, elders, or even deacons for help and ask them, you know, what should I do with regard to this decision making, and should I do this or do that, and they will give a counsel or a good advice. But when someone comes to them, our church leaders, for counseling or for advice, they will want to make sure that they counsel or advise them with sound biblical judgment. Yeah, am I correct? So why is that important? So Paul explains that he may approve things that are excellent. approve want? What approve whether things we do in life and the decision we make would be in the will of God. Now the word approve is a similar word to the word that went before, the word judgment. They're similar, which means to test or to examine or to test the quality of something. Now when the Apostle Peter said when believers go through persecution and trials in this book, he said the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. And the word tried or to be tried is the same word used here for Philippians, translated as to approve. So to approve and to try are the same word in the Greek. Now, in other words, just as the goldsmith put the gold into the fire to try or to test for its impurities, we need to pray that our leaders would practice good judgment to approve or to test what is good and perfect will of God, so that they can not only help themselves, but they can also help other people who are seeking counseling with them. So, we not only pray for our church leaders to grow in love and in judgment, but we also need to pray for them to grow in spiritual judgment. So, each time again, as I said, when we pray for our church leaders and whenever we know that they are facing with the difficult and challenging decisions, and pray for them that they will have good, sound judgments to discern what is the best for God's people. So, how do we pray for our church leaders? We need to pray for our church leaders to grow in love and in knowledge and in also good, sound spiritual judgment. And finally, we need to pray for them to grow in holiness. In other words, we pray that God will preserve their testimonies till the day of Jesus Christ, which is the day that we see Christ face to face. And look with me at the second half of verse 10, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And just now we mentioned about having good judgment, a spiritual judgment to discern the will of God, but I want us to see where it will lead that person, all right, in the long run. Now, and Paul says, as the person constantly endeavor to discern the will of God, and by the way, we should all do that, not just the church leaders, but all of us. And our testimony should be preserved until the end, to the day of Jesus Christ. That's to all of us. And, okay? So, and it says, to endeavor, as he endeavored to discern the will of God, that he may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And what does that mean? That means that we need to pray that God will preserve their testimonies, as I said before, until that they see Christ Jesus. And we're all running a race. And we're all running a race, everyone, and then looking forward to the prize that we shall receive from Christ Jesus. And all of us should do that. And so it is everybody's calling. So, and the word sincere here means pure and genuine. So pure and genuine. And the word without offense means blameless or without any cause of stumbling. It carries the idea of something that is found to be pure when examined by the light of the sun. Now, the idea of without offense or being blameless should remind us of the responsive reading we just read from 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3, where Paul mentioned the criteria for some people who wish to stand for the offices of deacons and elders. Yeah? And I think, you know, our two pastors already mentioned some truth and lessons from this passage. Now, then Paul says we should pray for each other to be this way. our testimony will be preserved and without offense and be blameless till the day of Christ. And again, the application is not just for church leaders. Remember, this is written to the Philippians. So all of us need to do this. But if you want to pray for your church leader, you need to pray for them that they will be all the more be without blameless. Because, you know, whether you like it or not, when you're called to be a church leader, you are placed on a higher standard. And Paul here is really talking about the process of our sanctification. All right? And right now, and that will lead to our eventual perfection. And when will we become perfect? Not in this life. In the day that we see Jesus Christ. So he was talking about our sanctification and all the way that leads to our perfection in the future. And so, having said that, as I said, our leaders are placed on a higher standards. I'm not saying this to put an extra burden on our dedicated church leaders, our deacons and our elders. They love the Lord. That's why they answer to the call to serve us and God in this manner. But the purpose of this short exhortation is to encourage you, church members, and to pray for them to grow in love and in knowledge and in judgment or discernment and in holiness, so that they may serve the Lord more effectively. And make sure that we let them know that we are praying for them, so that they will be greatly encouraged. And so that's it. I want to, I just want to pray, and as we summarize, I will pray and summarize everything that we have learned. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank thee for your word. We pray that we will pray for all our church leaders to grow in love. And not just a little bit of love, but that their love for God and for people of God may abound yet more and more. We also want to pray for our church leaders to grow in knowledge. Not just knowledge about God, but personal experiential knowledge of God. And we also want to pray that they will also grow in judgment or discernment, so that they may make sound judgments in making various decisions and provide good insights for the people who need counseling. We also pray for church leaders to grow in holiness, so that they may be a good testimony for those within and without, to the glory and honor of God. Father, we thank thee for everything, and may you bless this congregation and bless our leaders. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.